But this is the time when we have someone that's going to share their thoughts with us. And to me, he's a very precious, precious man. All kidding aside, I think he's just a wonderful man. And he's got one of those perfect wives, though. So you've got to leave him alone, ladies. But he's a wonderful man. He's very committed to working for God for the rest of his life. He's had a very interesting life so far, and now he's old and retired. And so now he can spend the rest of his life working for God. Very seriously, I think he's a wonderful man, and his mediumship is getting better and better and better. He hardly ever misses class, and I love him even if his wife is extremely jealous. But I know God won't let her hear that, will he? God will close her ears off. Oh, no, she likes it. She's grinning all over. She's thinking, thank goodness somebody likes him. Am I taking him? Look at that couple sitting there in the front row over there. He's the one with the big beard. See him? The black and white beard. And that stands for Bill. Bill Beard. Actually, he's a wonderful man.
All right. Hello, everybody. So, as usual, I like to speak kind of what's been on my heart and what's been going on for the last several months or longer than that. And one of the things that people will often hear me say, if we're friends or close enough or we talk about spiritual things, I'll always say that I like to blend with spirit. I think it's very important because spirit is within me, within you. And so it leads me to ask the question, and the thoughts are, what are we blending with? Have you ever given that thought? What exactly are we blending with? Because no matter what you're doing in life, even sitting here right now, you're blending with something. You know, like some of you have already tuned me out and are thinking about what's going to happen at the carriage house tonight, and can I get a snack? So you're blending with those thoughts. You're blending with sugar. Some of you are thinking about the traffic that you came down with, and then some of you are present. And I know I'm not present at this time, so this is even going to be a better talk. Because in all things that I try to do, especially pertaining to God and spirituality, I try and step out of the way for a moment and say goodbye to my ego and my personality, but nature abhors a vacuum. So whenever something steps out of the way, something else has to come into the way. And so what I want to ask you right now, what stories have you been told your entire life? Because if you think about it, when you come into the world, we come in pure, like Millie says, on the breath of angels, and we're close to God. And then we start getting layered upon almost immediately. Oh, you're cute. Oh, you're this. Oh, you're fat. Oh, you're skinny. Oh, you've got pimples. Oh, you've got a career ahead of you, and you don't amount to anything. And so what we keep on doing is we take all these things and we start layering. Who has that experience in their life? Have you not layered things upon your life and upon your life and upon your life? And what do you ultimately do with those things? You blend with them. And you make them so much so that you believe them. And you make them true in your life. And that becomes your lens, your perspective. It becomes how you look at life. It becomes how you look at yourself, or you don't look at yourself. And it becomes how you look at others, unfortunately. And it also limits your expectations, or it increases your expectations. You know, you can run the gamut of, you get what I'm talking about, right? But we, as human beings, as humans, as spiritual beings, we all do this. So I want to ask you, and just take a second. I'm going to be silent for just a few seconds. think about today, think about right now, and I'm going to ask you, what are you blending with right now? It's just a moment of reflection for you. So, who here can say they have a busy life? I mean, day starts on the morning, you barely get up, whatever you're doing in your routine, you're checking your phone, you're checking your Facebook, you're going to work, you're trying to pay your bills, you're running your kids off. Does anybody relate to that daily battle of how I'm busy? Everywhere I go, I always hear people say, I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy. But yet everywhere I go, I see people on their phones nonstop or texting and driving or not even making eye contact when you're talking with them, not allowing a person to like, hey, how are you? And they're not really listening to you most of the time. They're not giving you the time of the day because our minds are always moving on to something else. And we're looking for that something else on the outside. And we don't, who does that? Be honest. Who does those types of things? And who has had those things done to them, too? And before you know it, it becomes our culture. It becomes something we blend with. It becomes part of an acceptance that we are no longer polite. We are no longer caring because we're too busy trying to figure out what's that next thing that's coming around the corner. Oh, it's not on my news feed. It's not on my Twitter. It's not on my Instagram. It's not on my... I'm blending. And so our phones are always going off because there's some other important message out there that I need to get. And so, I mean, this is our culture right now. And I've had the opportunity to travel a fair amount. And, you know, there's one thing that people always say is that humans are basically the same no matter where you go in the world. And it's true because I see those same behaviors everywhere I've gone in the world. People sitting at tables and not talking and not having conversation and digging in their phones and not loving each other and not doing all these other things. And I want to change that perspective around to saying, what are they blending with? You waiting for the next bigger, better thing? What are you blending with? So where am I going with this? Is, you know, every time we blend with something, it's like spackling. It's like cement. It's like a mold that we're creating. And what we're doing is we're molding our lives. And what we're really forgetting is who the inner spirit is and who the inner being is because we're too busy molding our lives. But the key and critical point for me is, are you molding your life from things that are brought forth from the interior? Or are you molding your life on the things that are coming from the exterior? And what's the value of your construction? Because if you're always looking for the bigger, better, which could be the better conversation, the better boyfriend, the better girlfriend, the better job, the better traffic, the better whatever, all the things. Those are like a lot of freaking distractions in our lives, don't you think? I mean, it's constant distraction. And it's very polarizing, not only to each other, to our country, but it's also very polarizing to our spirit. Because we're leaving ourselves behind. We're forgetting ourselves. We're really not loving ourselves. And we're not paying attention to ourselves because we don't have time to listen to, I don't have time to listen to me anymore. And somewhere along the way, I got lost with who I am. Can anybody relate to that at all? Okay, it's good. I'm striking a chord. That's good. So this is a question I asked some people, some very lovely people on Saturday. And I said, how many people here have a prayer, a meditation, a quiet time practice in their life? Anybody? Oh, that's good. That's good. And how many people would say they're pretty routine with that? Awesome. Perfect. And so So I want to ask people, because of what we talked about and the molding and the injections that we're doing into our brains and the disconnect from our hearts, what are your habits? What are your habits? What have you developed because of the fact that you've been blending with something, whether it's spiritual or non-spiritual? And how do those habits unconsciously roll into your life? Because in your life, you're going to default to your habits. And it usually takes some kind of motion or a push into your life or trauma, or you have to have a good will to see something out there that you want to change to, or a behavior. Yeah. It really takes work, right? And unfortunately, if you don't have a good habit of doing something, you're going to be molded by something else, guaranteed. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The water will take the shape of the vessel. Mm-hmm. What does the vessel look like in your life? And so one of the questions that I also asked is, when you look at your habits and you look at what you're doing, here's a real important question, because if you're going to blend with something and you say you want to blend your life, hopefully with spirit, and you want to start changing where that mold, how you're developing that mold in your life, is how many have ever experimented or know how to feel their own spirit? One person, two people, three people. See how it dwindles? And so I want to say to yourself, you have lived with yourself in that carbon fiber thing you call a body since you came out of the womb. And yet you have a difficult time saying, I have a hard time feeling my own spirit. Kind of shocking, isn't it? When you really sit there, because we forget to develop the habits, and we constantly forget that we are blending with something. And so what I would like to urge people to do, myself is what I'm saying, is because this is my story. I'm not imposing my will upon you. I'm sharing my thoughts. So let's get that right out in front. You do what you need to do. Bill will do what Bill needs to do. I can't be responsible for you, nor do I want you to live my life for me. And God knows I'm incapable of living your life for you. Totally incapable of living your life for you. All I can do is be your friend and hopefully have compassion and hear you. But I know that I'm responsible for blending with my own spirit and blending with my own life. And if I can start to do that, I've started to reverse the course of just constantly being so busy and so habitual and being molded by the outside that I can start. Hello. I love your eye contact. Thank you. Gina, right?
Gina, yeah.
Thank you. Okay. So I could start to really start to live my life from blending with my spirit and feeling my spirit. So that leads to another question. What is the source of that spirit, and what is that spirit? Thank you. It's the divine. It's the divine aspect of God in which was breathed life into this body. And it is the divine aspect of this spirit that when this shell comes off like a seed and cracks open, this spirit will flower into something else and will continue to move on. So it behooves me, because of the fact as spiritualists, we have already proven, and hopefully if you're new here, you may not know what I'm talking about, that life exists, it goes on, you don't die. So if our thoughts, words, and deeds are laying the seeds and creating our lives, and therefore I am an infinite being, I know that whatever lessons I started here, whatever I'm doing, are going to continue on into eternity. So as Millie says, and I believe, what do you take out with you? Well, you take your love volume, right? You take out your joy. you take out your benevolence. I think you take out the character traits that come from spirit. And when I exit with the level of that attunement that I've reached to my own spirit. Attunement doesn't always necessarily mean I'm hearing somebody from the other side. I really believe attunement means I'm attuning to me, to my spirit, to know who I am, to know that feeling of what I am. So that way, if I have attunement to the other side of the veil, I can feel, because that is foreign. So now I instantly pick up on my antenna. Oh, that's not me. That's not my spirit. And if I'm moving in the highest and best interest for the other person and myself, I know that spirit talking to me. Does that make sense to people? So one process enhances the other process. But God never forgets you because he loves you. So he wants you to become in tuned with yourself and molded from the inside, not the outside. Okay. So I was reading this very interesting book, and it's about guide and how the spirit world looks at us. And it was very interesting because it come to a point, and here's how spirit, the guide, views us and how they try and communicate with us. I found it very interesting. It says, we strive to get as close as we can, but our proximity, God bless you, but our proximity is dependent upon your atmosphere, your growth, and your evolution. We cannot reach those whose souls are so dead to the things of spirit that we have no point of contact. Fascinating, huh? Where there is an awareness, an understanding, a quickening of the soul, there we can make contact and forge a link and make a bond of unity. It does not always mean that the people we are able to contact are spiritualists. That does not matter. So long as they have knowledge and understanding of spiritual things, try to make yourselves more receptive, to be calm, and we will draw close. Do not have fear, worry, or distress, for those things create a fog which is hard for us to penetrate. That's a very fascinating point of view to me. And I know that even in our own conversations with human beings, there's only but so far we can talk to somebody. It always depends upon how receptive we are. It always depends upon our evolution. It always depends upon where our heart is. And sometimes we just can't approach people. And it's the same way on the other side of the veil. Sometimes they can, sometimes they can't. It just depends upon where we're at, and are we inside, or are we worried about Twitter, Facebook, breaking news, the newest boyfriend, whatever the subject matter may be. You know what I mean? Where are we listening? Where is that relationship being placed? And so how do you start to know your spirit? Well, you have to have some kind of principles or guiding belief systems that go beyond beliefs, but they go into a working knowledge. And I really believe that a lot of that is just based on the natural law of God. And if you know that, that you're part of the divine, same as there's gravity, gravity always works. There are things that once you know that's there, it makes it so solid for you that you don't change your perspective. So, for example, if I know I'm part of the divine, and I know that I'm walking the spiritual walk, and I know that I'm honoring myself, then what ends up happening is I play above my circumstances, because circumstances are like the waves of the ocean. Sometimes they're going to be up and my boat's going to be rocked, but if I know the law, I know I'm going to be okay. I can ride the wave out. And if the waves are calm, then I can smoothly go through the water because I'm in touch with my spirit. So once I start knowing those natural laws and who God is in my life and where my spirit is and what's happening, I start to really feel my spirit, know my spirit more and more and more. And I know that there's going to be trials in my life because, I mean, Jesus hung on a cross and he said, you know what? You're always going to have trials and tribulations on this earth, but you know what? I shall never forsake you or leave you. The other side of it is, and what we said earlier, is who has a meditation or a prayer practice or something in which they're trying to communicate within is very clear. And you can, I use God and Jesus, or I call him the Nazarene sometimes because that's the way me and him kick it. But, you know, you may have Buddha in your life or Plato or Socrates or any one of a bunch of Krishna or any one of ascended masters. And the reality is natural law is natural law and truth is truth is truth. And each one of them came to exemplify that truth upon this planet, which is within our soul. And so one of the greatest things is be still and know that I am God. And so when you're still and you're knowing you're God, you're not being molded from the outside again. You're being quiet and you're going within. So, so important. And it doesn't mean you have to sit on a pillow and say a mantra and do all this other stuff. You know, you could be still in the middle of Starbucks. You could be still in the middle of a conference meeting with your bosses. It's the stilling of your heart. It's not the position of your body and the incense and, you know, everything else that you do to cleanse your house. And I'm going to go back to this and read you a very interesting passage that I find interesting. Oops. You can try to learn to express your soul so that when no words pass your lips and in the silence of your own soul, your spirit reaches out for communication with the Great Spirit. Then you know that he and you are one. It is not possible to express that in language, but it is expressed in the silence of the soul within you and within every soul in the universe. I love that. I love that little passage. I know that there has been times in my life when I've had great pain, and I'm sure you have had that too. And it's in those moments of time when I've had great pain, I've cried out, but without words. And I'm sure you as human beings have been there. Or you've had great joy that can't be expressed in words, but your soul cries out, right? How many have had that feeling? And at those moments, you're tight with God because you know that's the only thing left at that moment. You're not caring about all those other things, right? At that moment, you are more in touch with your spirit than at any other time because everything falls off. It's what they say, like on your deathbed, you don't wish you had worked more hours. You don't wish you had this. You don't. It all boils down to right now, spirit. Excuse me. The natural laws, be still and know that I am God. The kingdom of heaven is within you. The kingdom of heaven is within you. Behold, I stand at the door knocking. The door is within you. Everything is within you. I find it very interesting that when I look at the life of Jesus, he turned the world upside down. Because unlike us, who are allowing our lives and everything to be influenced from the inside, he totally changed the outside via what was inside of him. He completely revolutionized everything. Political world. Remember, the Israelites at this time were under Roman rule. Basically, house arrest within a country. They were slaves. And yet, he would go up to the sinner. He would go up to the leper. He would to the blind person, to the prostitute, to the person who had leprosy, to the lame, to the afflicted. And he completely changed everybody on the outside solely because of the freedom that was within him and the love that was within him. He never let the outside influence the inside. He turned it completely around. And he did this because he goes, I know who I am. Me and my Father, the Creator, are one. Very, very powerful stuff. And I'm going to wrap it up real soon. And he said, everything I can do, you can do and more. Everything I can do, you can do and more. Depends from where you're playing the game. Are you playing it from the outside in or the inside out? Depends what's molding you. Are you playing it because other people's opinions count more than yours? All these other influences of what our society tells us we should do? Or are we playing the game from the connection to our spirit and riding above our circumstances? It says, you approach the Great Spirit direct. As you learn to allow the Great Spirit to express himself in your lives. I'm going to say this again one more time. You approach the Great Spirit directly as you learn to allow the Great Spirit to express himself in your lives. That means you have to surrender and allow that spirit that's inside of you to affect your life. Each one of you has a portion of the Great Spirit, and you require nobody to stand between you and the Great Spirit of life. Please, please, please ponder those thoughts. You are perfectly divine, and no one can stand between you and the Spirit of life that is within you. This is the purpose of the Nazarene, Jesus. He came to teach the people how to live their lives, that the fullness of the Great Spirit may be expressed. What molds you? What influences you? What do you surrender to? And what are you blending with? And the last question that I have with you, many times in the spiritualist movement, there is such an emphasis on mediumship. And I have a different definition of mediumship. Because I know if I walk into a room like this that the bulk of the people here truly believe that life goes on, I no longer have to prove that. It's already proven to me. So to me, mediumship, because I am a conduit of that spirit that is within me reaching the outside, like Jesus was a conduit to people all around him, mediumship is my life. I am a vessel of communication in how I show up in my life. As a spiritualist, your mediumship is the very essence of you walking into a room. It is how you express, because that's what Christ did, how you express that spirit that's within you. Jesus, there's very few stories about Jesus talking to the dead in the Bible. He did have transfiguration, and he did talk to Moses and Elijah on the mountain, and he does talk to his Father. He certainly prophesied, and he certainly gave messages, and he saw people before they were coming and going. He did a lot of those things. But he didn't really sit around a lot and say, I've got your nan with you, I've got your granddad with you, and they love you and they're proud of you. Those things are all very true. I'm not mocking them. I am not mocking them. They are very, very true. But the expression of mediumship is your life. It is your very soul. It is your very spirit. It is the God-inspired you that reaches out and touches everyone. And as Milia said many times in the classes on Tuesday and Thursday night, this is not about psychic development, and this is not about mediumship so you can go out and do something with that. This is about spirituality. And true spirituality. And I see that as a truth. And so on this channel book, I'm going to leave you with this. Every child of matter that seeks to serve the Great Spirit is a medium for the Great Spirit. Where do you fall into that? Am I to say how, am I to say, this is the Spirit talking, am I to say how he can evolve his soul? Hasn't that been told to you so many times? Tell him to love his neighbor as himself. Tell him to serve. Tell him to seek to uplift. Tell him to do everything which expressed the great Spirit within. This is the highest phase of mediumship. I cannot tell him how to be clairvoyant, but I can tell him how to open the eyes of his soul so that the light of the great Spirit can reach him. That is by the same method. And I love those words because it really, really brings it back down to the point of, where's your love? Predominantly, where's your love for yourself? Where's your love for feeling yourself, for knowing yourself, for expressing yourself? Where does your love show up in your life? And if you do those things and you hear your Spirit and you mold yourself from the inside, I guarantee you, when you talk to people, you will say things to them that you don't even understand what you're saying, but will touch their lives. And that is the greatest healing and form of mediumship you can ever do. So I bless you. I ask and I pray in your own life that you find your own way, that you find the Spirit within, that you connect, that you live from the inside out and revolutionize those who are around you. And I guess, as all good mediums say at the end of the night, I'll leave you with that.